Thanks for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical health care provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about yoga for the mind, body, and spirit. Yoga is a total mind, body, and spirit exercise program that combines strengthening and stretching poses with deep breathing, meditation, and relaxation. 21-year-old Francesca Soul Cheney opened her new vegan cafe to provide healthy, delicious, and convenient food to the inner city community. New research finds that yoga may help reduce blood pressure in people who are at risk for developing hypertension. Joining us today is Aubrey Warwick of Aubrey Warwick Fitness to talk about the benefits of yoga and how we can start today. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now, here's your host, Vicky Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks Bright.
Vicky, how are you?
I am fine. I got out of this snow. What you said?
It was Snowmageddon. Instead of Armageddon, it was Snowmageddon. Yeah. I mean, they had such forecast yesterday that I woke up. I kept peeking out the window. I kept like Santa Claus was coming. I kept getting up. It was like midnight. And then got up at like 3:00. And I'm like, I'm still looking at the ground. And then
all of a sudden,
they were right. It came down as Snowmageddon. But guess what? So I guess it snowed from like maybe 5-6 to maybe noon, and I left to go to work, and the roads were all clean and clear and stuff, and it's actually sort of melting a little bit.
I know
it's cold, but it came down in one big wallop, and it looks like hopefully it'll go away by tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like it's gonna go away.
Yeah
but I don't know how heavy.
Did Philadelphia get hit like they were supposed to? I haven't had the chance to look. Yeah, me either.
I know when I talked with Natalie in Cleveland,
how bad
they had
they
gotten
it?
A lot that night.
Uh-huh.
but wasn't as much as
okay.
Now, it might be snowing now there.
Yeah. You never know.
So you never know, because the weather's just so funny, isn't it?
It is.
Can it be
and
over?
And today is the first day of spring.
Oh, it's the first day of spring and we getting all this snow? What's going on?
Welcome to Northeast Ohio.
Yeah. Well, today we talk about yoga for the mind, body, and spirit. Now, yoga has been dated for more than 5,000 years, and there are more than 100 different forms of yoga. Now, the most common form associated with yoga is called Hatha, and it combines a series of poses, asanas, and breathing techniques. Yoga is truly a total mind, body, and spirit exercise program because it combines the strengthening and the stretching poses with deep breathing, meditation, and relaxation. Now, research has shown that yoga has many health benefits, such as improving cardio and respiratory health, improving energy and vitality, increasing muscle strength and tone and flexibility, reducing stress and anxiety. And yoga is just very good because it improves overall quality of life. So today we have Aubrey Warwick of Aubrey Warwick Fitness. She has a fitness and wellness company, and her studio is Fitness Envy outside of the Pittsburgh area. And she will be joining us today to talk more about her journey in the health fitness industry, her fitness business, and one of her favorite exercise program, yoga. She would talk about the benefits of yoga and how we can start now. And we just can't wait to hear from her today. Right, Dee?
Right. Cannot wait.
Cannot wait. We need to be able to, like Isaac said the other week, just be able to stretch and touch our toes.
He was so funny. So, yes.
He said, you know, we just kind of work on.
Just to be able to touch our toes. That would be a major feat, yeah.
That's it. So we're going to talk about yoga and all the wonderful benefits in just a little bit. Now, make sure you go to our resources page, www.vickidofitness.com/resources, and you will find a curated list of tools, websites, and products that I strongly recommend to you for your success on your healthy living journey. It's a lot of products and websites and so forth on that list on our resources page, but I want to make sure that you definitely check out Sunbasket. Sunbasket is a healthy meal delivery service offering organic and sustainable ingredients and easy recipes. And these things are delivered, the food and all that, delivered to your door weekly. And make sure you go right now, because there's a link that will help you. You'll be able to get a discount off their lean and clean meals. So you want to go and check that out now. Since today we're talking about yoga, go and check out our Barefoot Yoga company. There's a Barefoot Yoga link. Barefoot Yoga is where you buy yoga things and supplies and mats and clothing. And they serve customers worldwide. So if you're listening and you're in Japan, you go on to Barefoot Yoga. You can get your yoga outfit and your mat sent to you. Their products are eco-friendly. That's a good thing.
That's great.
That's a good thing. We have so many wonderful tools and products listed there on our resources page. So I want to make sure that you check us out. I want to encourage all of you to go check out the resources page. And when you use any of the affiliate links on this page, you will be supporting us here at Vicky Doe Fitness. And as always, we want to thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Definitely thank you for your support. Well, Dee.
Did you have a busy week?
Busy, busy, busy.
Wow. What did
but
you
that's
do?
A good thing at yeah. Vicky Doe Fitness. We're trying to do our creating our products, our programs.
We got a lot of irons in the fire.
Our services. And then here's the thing. April is Minority Health Month.
Right.
Right. So that's when we get really busy because of all of the community outreach programs and so forth that's happening in our area here in Northeast Ohio. And then we're doing a cooking demo for the Hope Community Services, their platform and what they do. So we'll be doing a cooking demonstration there, workshops a couple of nights with them as well. So we're busy. We're looking at recipes and we're testing and cooking. That's Isaac's
fantastic.
Favorite part. Isn't it nice to have a young
great.
Man that likes to cook?
I know, right?
And then it's healthy stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, Isaac, for those of you who don't know, he's our fitness wellness coordinator. And he does a lot of the nutrition that we do, a part of what we do here at Vicky Doe Fitness. So it's nice to be cooking, but having
it
someone
is.
That loves to do
it
that
is.
And healthy stuff.
It is. Good for him.
So, yeah, we've been doing that and planning for just the summer, maybe to get rid of the snow. I was thinking maybe we need to take a quick trip to New York and see some Broadway
shows.
There's
so many. Denzel Washington's coming out in one of Eugene O'Neill's plays, Iceman Cometh, and I really want to see that. And then another one that I want to see, and it's I saw, you know, a little snippet of it on the Today Show. Uh-huh. Jimmy Buffett has a new show on Broadway called Margaritaville.
Oh.
And it's singing and dancing, and it looks so much fun. I mean, it's a real diverse cast of people. people like, you know, like people in Key West, Florida.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was like, oh, I definitely want to see that. And Jimmy Buffett was on. He was saying it's been 5 years that he's been trying to pull this off. But it was just, it looks so much fun on, you know, you wanted something to just kind of.
Yeah, just something, a quick
singing
trip
and dancing.
That'll be
yeah,
singing
trip, yeah.
and dancing yeah. and just enjoying.
But it's just been, well, this is the fourth nor'easter that New York has had within the last couple of months.
I know.
So you get up there, you know, and you can't
then
get
back. Then
it'll
be a blizzard.
I've been up there on one of these short roundabout trips and ended up staying 2 days because I couldn't get out of New York.
Yeah,
fortunately,
it's a blizzard.
I could stay with somebody, but you get up there and then you can't get home.
I know, because of the blizzard.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
you know, for them to be getting more snow than what we're doing
yeah.
here, I mean,
really
come on.
Unusual.
That is unusual.
Right.
Well, at least we can think about it
yeah.
and maybe go later on
when the
during the year.
Gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love New York.
What have you been doing, Dee?
So, you know, I really haven't been doing too much this week other than Italian. I had an Italian test, and when I have those tests, it just takes, you know, I go back to those days of college where I'm just like, you know, studying, and nothing, you know, I find that nothing has changed with me,
uh-huh.
and I'm still super hyper competitive. You know, I want to get an A on the examination and just find myself, and all I think about is, I got to get home to study.
Yes,
but
yes.
I must admit, my Italian is getting a lot better. It's a great class, and I love being back in school with young
I know,
people.
I know.
Young, vivacious, fun, funny people. It just lifts your spirits.
Yes.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So that's a good thing,
Dee. Yeah.
So what is going on this week?
Ooh, everything. First, the good thing is that it's Women's History Month.
I know, with all this Me Too and all these
yeah.
things going on, it's nice to know that we do celebrate the National Women's History Month. This was actually thought of, I think, by President Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
His message was, you know, for the nation to designate March 2 through 8 mm-hmm. in 1980 as the National Women's History Week.
I like me some Jimmy Carter.
I know. Then in 1987, the Congress declared March mm-hmm. as the National Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it. I was like, oh, okay, good. Because we definitely can, you know, we talk about folks that are pretty much out there and famous, but
mm-hmm.
we all can look around in
mm-hmm.
our communities
mm-hmm.
and even in our homes
mm-hmm.
and think of some extraordinary things that women have done and that they do every day for all
right.
of us in the community.
Exactly.
I could probably, your mom.
Yeah,
and,
just thinking about my mom. Yeah, exactly.
You a mentor.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
a mentor.
And then my
know.
Sister, who's president of the Lynx, and
uh-huh.
all the things that she's done for mentoring young
mm-hmm.
people and so forth.
So, but then we have other folks, too. Like, I was thinking Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
She the first lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. African-American
She's still
lady.
She's the first lady. Did you see they had to move her portrait out of the place that they had it at the portrait gallery because there's so many people coming to see it that they had to move it into a bigger room? That just came out on the press
oh,
yesterday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good, isn't that? That's
mm-hmm.
very interesting.
And I saw the painter.
Uh-huh.
I think her name is Amy Sherrill. She was just going.
Yeah.
She's going to be represented today by a worldwide art organization. So that, and she just came to the forefront in 2012.
Yes.
2012.
I know.
So this company is taking her on.
That's nice.
And hopefully get some of her work sold and so forth and so on. So good for her. But they have to move Michelle's portrait out.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
It
wow.
Good thing, yeah.
Wow. And so then we, you know, of course, you guys is and the world's
mm-hmm.
dear and precious Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
She
our,
was
our
definitely.
National
mm-hmm.
treasure, Maya Angelou, who passed, the great
mm-hmm.
poet and writer and everything.
All that.
Anything that she couldn't do well.
All that. All
mm-hmm.
that. And then Jemerson.
Mm-hmm.
Jemerson, she was the first African-American to go on the space shuttle Endeavor September the 12th, 1992.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize she's an engineer, physician,
mm-hmm.
and NASA astronaut.
Yeah. Very smart. I haven't had the pleasure of hearing her speak. I hear she's very good. But
yes, but she came to CASE when Natalie was there, and
oh,
Natalie
wow.
sent me a picture of her with her.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I looked at the picture. I was like, she's famous. Who's that? And then she said, this is Jemerson.
Yeah.
I said, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
She's a National woman, right?
Yeah, she is.
Mm-hmm. Then Katherine Johnson.
Yeah, of the Hidden Figure fame.
The Hidden Figure.
Last year, yeah.
Yes, the mathematician. Yeah. She's an African-American mathematician that did the math for the org.
I'll never forget the movie. John Glenn goes, no, I'm waiting for her to finish all the calculations.
That's it.
Didn't he? He says, yes. I'm waiting for her to finish the calculations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She was definitely a powerhouse, and she's with us, still with us today.
Yeah, she is.
She's still with us today. Mm-hmm. And then here's a new one I found, and we were talking about her, Gladys West. She was inspired by the retelling of her sorority sisters. Now, what sorority is Katherine Johnson?
I don't know. Oh, Katherine Johnson, I believe.
Is she an AKA?
I believe she's
an AKA. So that means Gladys West is an AKA. So this lady, she was just inspired by the retelling of the classic film Hidden Figures. And so this woman, who's a Virginia woman named Gladys West, is coming forward with her hidden history and involvement in creating the technology most of us use every day, and that's the GPS.
Wow.
And it turns out that, like her sorority sister, Wes is also an important forgotten figure of technological advancement in the U.S. before and during the civil rights movement. So her work is with the modern day GPS system during her 42-year career at the Navy base in, what is that?
Dahlgren. But I don't know where that is.
Is it in Germany?
I don't know. It sounds like Germany to me.
Okay, but I have to look that up.
Yeah, me too.
Where her work was essential to her team, which developed the global positioning system in the 1950s and the 1960s. So kudos. Gladys West.
Absolutely.
And then I thought of another. I saw this on Facebook, and then I looked up the article behind it, and it's pretty legit. This is Ruby Price. Mm-hmm. She died at 102 years old. They knew her in Utah. They called her Grandma Ruby, and she is believed to be the Utah's first black school teacher. And so she died just March the 17th, and her age was 102. And so when people talk about her, they say she served the community very well. She was helping.
That's good, because, you know, the Mormons kind of had a checkered past with race.
Oh, relations. I know.
So good for her.
Yeah, she was an African-American sister, the first black school teacher. Mm-hmm. So kudos. And to live to 102.
Yeah, exactly. Good for her.
Those are our women that we are talking about today. But like we said, there are so many women, I'm sure, that are doing great things,
that are
just doing what they need to do to help with our society.
Yep.
And kudos to all of those guys.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, Dee, you were saying you were the DNN
this morning at 3:30 in the morning when the flash came by that the young man who was sending the bombs around Austin, up until last night, there was one at the FedEx office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was listening to a lot of people comment on it this morning, and they always say somebody makes a mistake. You know, they were saying, well, this is not at all like the bomber several years ago.
Okay, yeah.
Because that took 17 years.
Yes,
he would send a bomb.
What was they called? The U.S. bomber?
Unabomber.
Unabomber, yeah.
And that he would send a bomb maybe once every year or twice a year or something. And it was really hard to get him because, you know, he would go from here or there. But this guy doing it consistently made mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave fingerprints. I mean, not like fingerprints, but like they got a picture of him dropping off the package.
Yeah, now that was
people
silly.
Don't understand.
They got cameras
everywhere.
Yes.
And they went to stores and went through receipts and tracked him down and cornered him. And he ended up, you know, blowing himself up in the truck.
Yeah,
that was a major, massive man. And, you know, I mean, I don't like to see anybody die or pass, but he was starting to accelerate his bombings.
I know.
And people, I don't know the word. I mean, I guess things will come out later about who he really was directing things to. And, you know, they found who he is. They know his name. He's from a suburb in Texas. And, you know, I was another one of these neighborhood guys that the neighbors were saying, oh, yeah, well, he was a nice guy. Well, no, he wasn't. He was kind of a thug. I mean, if he did that. But he came from a nice, quote unquote, whatever that is, nice neighborhood, his parents and the whole bit. And nobody really knows, I guess, what radicalizes. And you don't want to use these kind of terms in the United States. You use them towards other groups. But it is kind of a radicalization.
It is.
He grew up in a house where this wasn't clearly the norm, and now you're building. And he had a background. He worked in computer technology and computer science and stuff. So they're putting the pieces of the puzzle together that he had the mentality and means to put a bomb together.
So was he just testing it maybe to see for a bigger one?
No
maybe?
One knows,
oh,
I
wow.
guess, yet until they go through his Facebook and his
and he was young.
Social media, 24 years old.
Yeah.
But, like I said, you don't like to see anybody die. But kudos to the police department of Austin. Because the whole...
And the FBI. And they had,
right.
Yes, they had a whole team.
Exactly. Because people were dying.
Yes.
And it was putting the fear of people. You
then
didn't want to pick up a package. You're terrorizing people. So kudos to them for hopefully ending this. Although they did say it's not over yet because he may have put bombs all over the city. And so you better be careful until this is really over with that they're not bombs that are out there
that
are waiting to be exploded, because you don't know what was in this young man's mind since he's not with us anymore.
Oh, wow. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's a crazy world.
It is. It is.
Crazy
now,
world.
The next thing, though, that I thought was crazy, they have the self-driving Uber car.
Bright eye.
And it kills a pedestrian in Arizona. But here's the deal. So you read the article and it says, so Arizona officials saw opportunity when Uber and other companies began testing driverless cars a few years ago. Promising to keep oversight light, they invited the companies to test their robotic vehicles on the state's roads. Okay, so then on Saturday night, an autonomous car operated by Uber and an emergency. Here's the thing. They had an emergency backup driver behind the wheel.
I didn't know that. You told me that earlier. I wasn't aware of that.
And then it still struck and killed a woman on the street in Tempe, Arizona. Isn't that something?
They might as well just get a check and write a bunch of zeros.
Oh, I know. That's crazy.
They might as well just get a check out and write a bunch of
zeros. That's how that is. But can you imagine you cross the street and this car zooming? So it probably was going fast.
Yeah, this idea needs to be put back on the back burner.
Yeah. So, of course, they suspended this stuff.
Yeah.
They suspended it.
This isn't George Jetson. No,
not yet.
Not George Jetson yet. No. Even though it's 2018 and George Jetson was in the 60s.
It's still not.
I know. No, you have not perfected it.
I know.
And
so that's terrible.
George Jetson and his boy Elroy. Right.
His
no.
boy another.
No, you haven't gotten it right yet, Uber.
No,
sorry.
Go back. Go back.
Go back to the drawing board on that one.
But that's it.
Our prayers go out to certainly to
Big time. To the family. Can you imagine?
No,
oh, my
I can't,
God.
I can't. I just can't. No.
Oh, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the March Madness.
Yeah.
Remember?
So, of course, everybody's bracket was busted by the events of March Madness the last week or so. But the Cinderella story, there's always a Cinderella story. But the Cinderella story this time was University of Maryland, Baltimore County, that beat top-seeded University of Virginia, which was number one, and UMBC was number 16. And they whooped them. And
By 20 points.
They whooped them.
Oh, my God.
And it's never been done before. They will go down in history. I happen to know and be friends with the first lady of the university, Jackie Hrabowski, and her, I don't know her husband personally, but Freeman Hrabowski, and they've just done such great things to bring that school to the forefront, not only with basketball, but I think I put on my Facebook page the huge number of students that graduate and graduate with graduate degrees. And so they have just done great things for the school, but everybody's so happy for them and so happy for the school. Because, you know, you always like that Cinderella story. You know, one, the school that's the bottom at the bottom and they beat the big bear.
Okay.
You know, the David and Goliath story. Kudos to them. Of course, my University of North Carolina lost, so I'm done. So we'll see this weekend is the weekend is the Final Four and the grand finale.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah,
so a little bit more basketball this weekend. So, and then we'll have a winner.
Yeah, so that's why I said, let me, you know, because I've kind of watched it bits and pieces, mm-hmm. but this weekend and all that, that's when I try to, at the very end,
yeah,
I try to
final
be,
four.
I try to be in the mix.
Yep, Final Four and then the final. Yep.
I know.
On Monday.
I know. Well, this is a good story, too, that's out there.
Yeah, I don't know about this. Tell me about this story.
Well, we got a 21-year-old. She opens a vegan restaurant to prove that wellness isn't just for the elite. This lady, this young lady, she, it says, a new vegan restaurant just moved in Brooklyn. So she put her stuff up in Brooklyn. This is, of course, we know that one of New York City's up-and-coming restaurant hubs. But instead of following the neighborhood's hipster dining scene and charging $10 for, I was like, what? They charge $10 for some green juice?
Wow, that's New York.
And $16 for a salad? What? She got her.
That's why we're not there.
Man. I know.
Exactly why we're not
that's
there.
Too, that's too expensive. No, I could just go get some little stuff and
make it ourselves. I make my own green juice in the morning, some kale and so forth and so on.
That's it. My little smoothie and I'm out the door.
Me too.
Shoot.
Me too.
But anyway, this young lady, her restaurant is called Soul Sips, and she's making plant-based food accessible to everyone. So the 21-year-old, her name is Francisca Soul Cheney, opened her new vegan venture on a mission to provide healthy, delicious, and convenient food to the inner city community. And as a city dweller working three jobs, this is what the article says, working three jobs, she could relate to the struggles many people face when deciding what to eat. She believes that people, and this is a great thought when I was reading this, it says she believes that people in low income areas may not prefer fast food over healthy food, but in a world of expensive green juices and superfoods, those with fixed incomes may not have much of a choice.
Right.
She calls the wellness community, she said, can be really classist. I was like, that's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Cheney insists that the wellness community is not just for the upper class. So as a full-time student, she discovered the benefits of a plant-based diet, which we talk about here on our show on Vicky Doe Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And she began making her own smoothies for on-the-go meals. And she noticed how this plant-based fuel propelled her through her demanding days. And this is what she says. She said, I was feeling more energized and lighter.
Good.
So encouraged by her own improved health, Cheney began making smoothies and juices for her friends and family. And then we fast forward this 3 years. And that's when Soul Sips was born. So nowadays, though, she's making more smoothies, but then you get her menu offers cafe staples. So she got the vegan omelets, the soups, the wraps, the juices. And on weekends, they do a brunch and it's serving a sliding scale menu where anyone can purchase a complete vegan meal, including the beverage, for $7 to $15. Isn't that great?
That's great.
And so she says, my mission is to help close the accessibility gap in wellness. I love that.
Right. I do too.
As a Black female entrepreneur, she feels that her community has not been given its proper recognition. This is what she's saying. We've prepped the table, but we're yet to get a seat at it. So what she's doing is she's making sure that she becomes a entrepreneur. She's also mentoring other girls, which I really like. Mm-hmm. She has an internship program. I like it that she's teaching entrepreneurship and it's wellness.
Good for her. You know, the Brooklyn has become one of those gentrified areas where the people have moved out of New York because it's too expensive, but they've moved into Brooklyn and then jacked up the prices of the apartments and then jacked up the prices of food in the restaurants. And the people that have been in Brooklyn all these years, you know, that are not certainly of the same kind of income of these people that have moved into Brooklyn, they find themselves at the mercy of $10, you know, little juices or $25 salads and stuff like that. And good for her because, you know, like what's happening in San Francisco, folks are moving these people out of their apartments, out of their jacking up the prices so much that people kind of don't even have any place to go.
I know.
So it's just really, you know, really sad. I have several friends that live in Brooklyn and some who have lived there for a long time. And then those who have moved there and rent is becoming astronomical. And it didn't used to be that way. But, you know, it's just what the market will bear. If you're paying $7,000 a month rent in New York City for like 1,000 square feet, then it's a bargain to go to Brooklyn and pay $3,000.
Right, right.
The average person who's been living there, they can't afford it.
Right.
So in some of these apartment buildings, they've jacked up the rent.
I know.
People have had to go. So it's messed up.
It is messed up.
So good for her to come in and do something good for the neighborhood.
I think so, too.
That's good.
Our health tip is yoga before bed. And you can find this on Vicky Doe Fitness, our website. It was written by Health Day News. And it says, yoga practice just before bed may help you wind down and prepare for sleep. The National Sleep Foundation suggests these poses may help before bed. And so we have the cat-cow pose. And it's done on the hands and knees and alternating between arching your back and letting it sink while raising your chest.
I've wanted it. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes, that's the typical,
I wonder if Isaac
even though they
that.
Call it.
We'll have to ask Isaac if he can do that since he's not here to defend himself. Isaac, can you do that?
And then there's the chair pose. And that's performed in a position that resembles sitting in a chair. Then there's the reclining hand to big toe pose, done stretched out on the floor with a yoga strap around the sole of one foot. Stretch a leg straight up, pressing your heel upward while you hold the yoga strap, and then you alternate
legs. I do that
legs.
For my piriformis syndrome thing.
That's
I do
a
that.
Typical stretching
move. I do that with the bands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then there's the corpse pose performed by laying flat on your back, legs and arms extended and palms facing up. Close your eyes and breathe deeply. And this is my favorite pose. This is my favorite pose.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Because I end up going to sleep.
I know. I don't like corpse pose. I think I'm going to change the name because that don't sound too
good. I know, it doesn't it? Anatomical position pose.
Yeah, something right, exactly.
And so that is our health tip. And we want to encourage you guys to maybe try those because you will maybe sleep better.
Yeah.
Do you have the latest, D,
on
just all
on
the
influenza. Just want to give a little blurb that, you know, it looks like the season is winding down. Looks like maybe a little bit more influenza B now. Certainly not the same severity that we saw a couple of months ago in death. It's starting to wind down. That's good.
That's good news, right?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, today we talk about yoga for the mind, body, and spirit. And yoga has been dated for more than 5,000 years and has been practiced here in the U.S. for many decades. There are various forms of yoga, which uses a combination of poses and breathing techniques. It is becoming a steadfast trend in the health fitness world. Now, we have joining us today Aubrey Warwick, a wellness specialist of Fitness Envy in the Pittsburgh area, and she'll be talking with us about the many benefits of yoga and how we can learn to practice this form of exercise safely so that we can reap the benefits. But first, let's check out this article, D, and this article is called Yoga Called Good Medicine for High Blood Pressure. You can find this on our website, Vicky Doe Fitness, and it was written by Health Day News. And it says, yoga may help reduce blood pressure in people who are at risk for developing hypertension. A new study finds, this was 2 years ago, so the study is not that quite new, but it's out there.
Still timely.
It is still timely. It says, patients with pre-hypertension, slightly elevated blood pressure, are likely to develop hypertension, which is high blood pressure, unless they improve their lifestyle. And this was said by the study author, Dr. Angrish. He is a cardiologist at this.
Yeah, I saw this when we were there. Gangram Hospital, yeah, in Delhi. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
passed by that, yeah.
Okay,
Sir Gangram. Hospital.
Okay, yeah. This is what he says. He says both pre-hypertension and high blood pressure increase the risk of heart attack, stroke, and heart failure. Now, the new study included 60 people who had slightly elevated blood pressure but were otherwise healthy. Now, the participants were randomly assigned to either practice hatha yoga while also making conventional lifestyle changes or to just make the lifestyle changes, and that's the control group. So the control group were the ones that just did the lifestyle changes. Now, the lifestyle changes included moderate exercise, aerobic exercise, eating a healthier diet, and quitting smoking. Now, the yoga group, and the average age was 56, received yoga instruction for a month and then did the activity at home. It included stretching, controlled breathing, and meditation for 1 hour a day. The average age of the control group, and this is the group that just did the lifestyle changes, the participants, their age was 52, and after 3 months, those in the yoga group had notable decreases in blood pressure, while those in the control group did not. Mm. What does that say to you, Dee?
Better start doing some yoga if you have pre-hypertension. Just that's plain and simple.
But I think
even though it's a relatively small sample size, I think that the data still does show yoga does help
with lowering
blood pressure.
And then I think mostly because of the whole relaxation and breathing aspect.
I completely agree. I don't think there's any disagreement on that. Even though the sample size was small, I think the data's out there to show that it helps.
And so then Dr. Angrish said, he said, although the reduction in blood pressure was modest, it could be clinically very meaningful.
Yeah, even 5 points.
Yeah, because what they found was that people in the yoga group had, they did a 24-hour diastolic blood pressure and a night diastolic blood pressure, and it decreased about 4.5 millimeters of mercury, and the 24-hour average arterial pressure decreased about 4.9. Mm-hmm. So the reduction in blood pressure was modest, but it was meaningful because even a 2 millimeter decrease in diastolic blood pressure has the potential to decrease the risk of coronary heart disease
by 6%. And the risk of stroke and mini stroke by 15%.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
He says, our research suggests that patients with pre-hypertension should be advised to practice hatha yoga for 1 hour daily. It may prevent the development of hypertension and, in addition, give a sense of well-being. This research is released from the European Society of Cardiology, and it is probably published at the time that they did this. This was preliminary study, but I think at this time it is published in the European a peer-reviewed journal. I don't know which one, but we will check that and post it on our website so that you can see that. So what do you think, Dee? I mean,
sounds good to me. I mean, the results are overwhelming. I mean, 15% and 16%, you can't argue with that when you're talking about major
reduction
in
risk factor.
Correct.
Definitely.
Correct.
Let's listen to our guest, Aubrey Warwick. Now, here with us today is Aubrey Warwick. She is a wellness specialist at the Aubrey Warwick Fitness. That's the name of her company, but her studio is Fitness Envy, and she's here with us today. She's a fitness competitor. She won. Can you believe this? 2015 Miss Fitness America champion.
Wow. That's great.
That's a lot of work. And she has her wellness company. She teaches and offers wellness coaching, nutrition consulting, and then she writes. She writes for her blog. I don't know what the name of her blog is, but we will find out before we finish. And Aubrey is here. Yes, she is here today to talk with us about yoga. I love yoga. What about you, Dee?
You know what? I haven't really had an opportunity to get my head wrapped around yoga. I've tried it a couple times and liked it, but I just kind of fell off the wagon.
Well, that's okay, Dee, because Aubrey is here to hook us up so that we will know what to do.
And might be able to sway you after this talk today.
Absolutely.
Dr. Dee. So I'm excited. So thanks for having me, ladies. And I just finished listening to one of your most recent podcasts today and really loved the conversation about what is the latest and greatest in the wonderful world of health and fitness. So I'm super excited to be on here to share with you a little bit about my experience and what got me to do what I'm doing, as well as obviously swaying Dr. Dee to.
That's so awesome. Well, tell us then. Tell us about your wellness company and how you started this journey as a wellness specialist.
So really, I feel like this was a long time coming ever since I was a teenager. I got involved into group fitness classes. I was never an athlete growing up. I never was very good at sports, but I stumbled across a free group fitness program in my teen years and fell in love with it. And when I went to college, I went to Slippery Rock University, and lo and behold, they have a major suddenly called exercise science. And I thought, well, that seems like something up my alley. And researched a little bit more about it. Took, you know, my freshman year, kind of got totally hooked on everything, became a certified group fitness instructor, and it just continued to snowball. Everything in the world of fitness and exercise physiology just seemed to fuel my passion and to really, you know, make me feel like I was successful at something and I could help people become empowered through movement. So, you know, then after I graduated, I worked for different corporate wellness companies to work my way up in our field. And I quickly learned that, you know, you can kind of, you work your way up in the world of corporate wellness, working for a corporate wellness company, and then you can't really go anywhere. And I started to look elsewhere.
Okay.
In terms of how can I still, you know, accelerate my career and help, you know, improve more lives and help impact more lives. And I worked for the company that created the Silver Sneaker Fitness Program.
Oh, wow.
Which is, which is still huge today. And there's different offshoots of Silver Sneakers. But I really got into that company right when it, almost right a couple years after it was founded. And it just was such a great life experience for me as their account manager in the Pittsburgh area. And it really then accelerated me to say, you know what, now I'm ready to start my own corporate wellness company. So in 2008, I did have a business partner at the time, and we created a company within weeks, and we pitched a song and dance of our life, I call it, to Westinghouse Electric Company specifically. They had up for bid several corporate wellness contracts.
Okay.
And we ended up winning the bid against some big-time contenders. Yeah. And it was quite exciting for my business partner and I. You know, we then expanded outside of Westinghouse and had different corporate contracts as well with different facilities. And we had a nice small business going on there. So that was from 2008 to 2012. And, you know, the corporate wellness kind of took a shift where it seemed that, you know, companies, they wanted to have this on-site wellness program, but they didn't want really people to be running it. They just thought, well, you're just managing a gym. People can come and they don't really need your services.
Right.
And and there was other kind of flaws to the system and the mentality as well, even though that they were seeing a return on investment. But as all businesses, the ebb and flow of things as they were at the time, we kind of parted ways in 2012. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was kind of like never say never. I thought, you know what, I'm going to open up a fitness, dance, nutrition studio. And I always said I would never do that. So you always have to be careful when you say you never do something. So here I am. I opened the studio up, and it just kind of became my therapy, and it became a lot of other people's therapy. I call it, you know, if I have dance classes, it's like your movement therapy is what I kind of loosely coined the term. And it just started to bring a lot of people joy. And so I kind of, you know, resurrected a different part of my career. And then I spawned my online business with Aubrey Warwick Fitness, where I do online lifestyle coaching. And that's really, in a nutshell, kind of
wow.
what
a journey.
Where I am today.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And it sounds like you're happy too, huh?
You know what? I definitely am. And I think it's a two-way street. And I am sure you both understand it, where mm-hmm. you see the joy in people's lives that you're able to help them obtain. And it's just reciprocated in that way.
So tell us then, you know, I'm just trying to figure out if you win in this Fitness America Pro 2015 champion. What happened?
About?
Yeah. How was that?
Oh, yeah. So this is kind of a cool story that I'm really glad that you're asking me this question, because a lot of times I forget to tell people about this. People just see the finished product, you know, and think, oh, that must have, oh, wow, you know, everything comes easy to you, Aubrey. And I'm like, no, there's really very few things in my life that I've not really worked my butt off for. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, we can all relate on that mm-hmm. in many ways. But when I was, again, in my teens, you know, as I'm getting bit by this fitness bug, mm-hmm. there was a time on ESPN, on television, where they would air these Fitness America competitions, and there were these women, they were buff, they were doing one-arm push-ups and, you know, jumping in the air and doing all these crazy fitness routines. Uh-huh. And I thought, wow, these women have it all. I was so amazed by women who could do pull-ups and push-ups, because at that time in my life, I could not do a single one. I didn't have the tools necessarily to understand, you know, how that I could change my body, my physiology, and all, and to become strong overall, uh-huh. you know, mentally, physically, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So I see these women on TV, and I started to just, you know, become a dreamer and think, wow, I would love to do that someday. So it started to get really big in Pittsburgh back in 2005, I'd say, maybe a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
I mean, huge. There's an expo in Pittsburgh. It takes place every year. And I go to it, and I see, lo and behold, there's this fitness competition through Fitness America. And the woman who won the show that year, it was literally on her 40th birthday.
Wow.
So I'm in my mid-20s, right. And I see her, and I thought, oh, my gosh, she's 40 years old, has six-pack abs. She is just, I mean, she was inspirational for what she could do physically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And being that I also have a dance background, I was longing for a healthy platform to perform again. So I looked into it, got a great coach at the time, because also what I quickly learned, I thought I could train myself.
Yeah.
Said, well, you know, I'm a personal trainer. I could do this.
No.
Yeah, I tried that for the first year. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized I needed someone to be kept accountable to, and befriended a great, great personal trainer. He's still great friends with him. And the very first show I did, I ended up placing first. And now the story doesn't get, it gets kind of sad after that. So the first show I do, I placed first in the competition. And then I thought, oh, I don't have to work as hard. And I do these other competitions, and I start to place worse and worse and worse. Maybe I got a little cocky, or who knows what the case might be. I wasn't in the right headspace. And I took a break. And then in 2014, I just have to do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have to do this for me. You know, I didn't have a child at the time, and I there was just something about this whole Fitness America idea that I thought that I could just, you know, give it my all and see what happens. So I gave myself from 2014 to 2015, and it was extremely focused. You know, I had the vision board thing going. I was meditating. I was training like a champion.
Okay.
And that was really the day that I won, or leading up to that, I think I had like this emotional release where I was like, I could play dead last. I have no idea what's going to happen, but this is all I got. This is my best. And then I have to kind of retire and move on with my life. And it was a really cool and surreal experience when I look back to think, as a young girl, just being so, you know, I was in awe of women that did this, and then I could actually make that dream a reality. Kind of the moral to my story, and like most other people's, is just don't quit. Even if I kind of took a break, I came back and made it happen.
So what exactly do you do in these competitions? I'm just trying to envision, because you were talking about the six pack and all of that. So is it, what exactly do you do?
Yeah, so there's definitely, Fitness America is actually the first organization that came out with these types of fitness competitions. So the category that I competed in is called fitness, and there's three elements to the competition. There is a fitness routine that lasts about 2.5 minutes that mm-hmm. is a themed routine that is choreographed music, mm-hmm. and you know, you can have dance, gymnastics, any type of, I mean, some people mix their martial artist background in mm-hmm. there. You know, I am not a, I was not a gymnast when I was younger. I had obviously a dance, but they're really also looking for strength moves, like mm-hmm. your one-arm push-ups, your different, by the way, yoga poses that guys in there. Yeah, you know, like some of your listeners might be familiar with a pose like crow pose or a tripod headstand that we can actually morph into these things that are balances, but they look very hard. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this, I tell people, I actually did used to be a magician's assistant, but I literally tell them, I'm like the magician. Because a lot of these things, they look so complex and hard, but once you know the biomechanics of the posture, you're like, okay, it can become a lot easier on you. So anyway, you put together this routine, and then there is a part that I never really liked that I had to embrace that was very, very hard for me. It's the swimsuit round. And I, you know, even though I admired everyone's, you know, physical body, for me, it's really hard when you put yourself on a stage in a bathing suit and a complete stranger then gives you a number in terms of how they rate your physical body. You know, it's really a very superficial element to the sport. And I now coach clients in the sport, and I tell them, you know, we do not want this to make us superficial. It's, mm-hmm. it's a very hard sport mentally to compete in. That part of the event would always kind of be my most challenging part. Mm-hmm. And then there's an interview round when it's all said and done, because they want to make sure that you're, you know, somewhat articulate. And you get scored on all of those areas. And based on your scores, that's how they determine the winner.
That's great.
So, and there's different, you know, types of organizations like Fitness America again. However, the fitness category, I think it's making a comeback, but there's an ebb and flow to it. It does take a lot of time. You know, people mm-hmm. putting together these routines and polishing them and perfecting them, and then you have to look the part as well. There's other categories that you can enter that do not require you to do a fitness routine, because so that's extra element. Sometimes people really, you know, they either don't have a coach to get them to do that, they feel like they can't do that, or bottom line, they just don't have the time to do it.
So just kind of briefly, sticking to this, I've had a couple of trainers who, male trainers, who have sort of been into, and I, a long time ago, one of them is actually still doing it, and the other one actually happened to be old Pittsburgh Steeler, and they taught me a lot about fitness, but when I'm listening to you about this competition and stuff, there's a lot of different stuff that goes into eating, and I guess whole thing about, I guess I'm just going to ask you, did you do anything that was sort of unhealthy? Because I hear them, well, not unhealthy, but, you know, they would talk about eating like 12 boiled eggs or tons of tuna fish and all the stuff, protein and stuff that you have to do for muscle building in order to get yourself to look like that. The eating is a real big part of this. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. Yeah. And I really welcome this question, because I think people are starting to become a little bit more open and honest about how, you know, if other fitness competitors were to answer this. With Fitness America specifically, they advertise themselves to be a natural organization. With other organizations, you know, they don't advertise that. It's kind of like the don't ask, don't tell. So even though every fitness competitor in their respective categories, they're eating healthy foods, they could also be using other supplementation that is mm-hmm. helping to get them to that mm-hmm. leanness factor where you're like,
right.
Do they ever eat a cookie? Have they even looked at chocolate their whole life? You know, so mm-hmm. there's other enhancements that people do. So you can, you know, look at, I think at my competition pictures and be like, you know what, that's a natural athlete. I'm not, I have good, a healthy amount of body fat, but I'm not shredded to the point where I look like, you know, an anatomy project.
So, right.
in terms to answer your question, everyone diets differently. And when I first started to compete, I was not a nutrition specialist at the time, and I was kind of doing the best that I could based on the information that I knew. And I was really honestly just counting calories. Mm-hmm. And that worked for the first show. Mm-hmm. But I think a big part of why it didn't work over the years is that I slowed my metabolism down mm-hmm. because my calories were just so unbelievably low. Mm-hmm. And I was miserable.
Right.
And I needed to take that break. And mm-hmm. then that's where I thought, okay, people were starting to come to me to ask them if they, you know, to coach them in competing. And again, never say never, because I'm like, I'm never going to do that. And then and here I'm doing it. But I thought, you know, I really need to be more legit with how I'm going to be coaching people in the nutrition aspect. So I am a certified nutrition specialist through the American Academy of Sports Dietitians and Nutritionists. And what that has helped me do is make sure that people are quite aware that it's not necessary to cut out a food group in order to obtain a lower percentage of body fat.
Right.
And I don't cut food groups out on people. A lot of times you will hear people like, oh, this is a no-carb day or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. And that technique can be effective, but it can't not be effective all the time.
Right.
You know, we can't have a complete, like, carbohydrate void life 365, you know, and there's so many weird techniques that I hear people do, and it's kind of like, all right, if that's what works for you,
I know.
Mm-hmm. But my approach has just been different, and if you want to keep your sanity, I tell people, you know, hear me out, because you focus on the lifestyle first, and then once you get your lifestyle, nutrition, and your version of balance, then we can diet you down for a little bit where you know, it is a true diet.
Right. It's got to be sustainable. Vicki and I talk about that all the time. It's got to be something that's sustainable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. A lot of my clients, I tell them, you know what, you also have to identify with different physical types of yourself, because the person that's going to step on that stage, your new body, that's going to be the leanest that you will be out of probably the entire year. You're not going to look like that mm-hmm. until your next show, or maybe, you know, that you have to be comfortable with gaining a little bit of weight after the show and a little bit more body fat. Now, mm-hmm. there it can work against you as well, where we call it the post-show rebound, where that I did write something on my blog about that, where I've seen people who have not been coached very well with mm-hmm. nutrition, and they'll gain 20, 30 pounds mm. after a show, which is not healthy, and that's not mm-hmm. the intention. I take that very seriously. It's like, you know, okay, it doesn't give you this license to suddenly eat food like it's falling off the planet. Mm-hmm. So it signals to me, if someone does that there's some disordered eating there, or they have dieted so hard that they have felt restricted for so long that they had to then go into that other mindset and behavior. So it's a slippery slope with the dieting. And I tell people, invest in a coach that you trust,
right.
and don't start to get, you know, five other people's opinions. Then you work right. with one person, because if you start to then, you know, oh, well, let's see what so-and-so's doing, and then this person told me that, you start to get really nothing really will work for the individual. I think we also have to redirect our focus to what is healthy. I just went to the world's largest fitness competition at the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio,
yeah.
at the beginning of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And pictures of people, there was a athlete there, or he wasn't there because he actually died.
Oh.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
But people thought he was, quote-unquote, healthy. So even though we might look like that, we don't know what else goes on behind the scenes. As both of you know, it's really about finding that well-rounded, balanced approach, mind, body, and spirit. It's not
right,
just, well,
right.
you know, I look good and I can be on the cover of a magazine. There's definitely more than that.
Speaking of mind, body, and spirit, then let's talk about yoga. What is actually yoga? I know you teach it, and I saw you on TV when you were doing a special,
yeah.
and I loved it because it was the couples yoga poses and so forth. What is yoga exactly, and what are the advantages of yoga when compared to other exercises?
Yoga is a lifestyle. Yoga is meant to be, you know, I think in America we think of yoga just as some stretching and all different types of stretches. But really yoga is practiced in other parts of the world. And I think now people are getting into this aspect that in order to find, to be more flexible, to have a balance, be good at balancing, okay, physically, we have to apply these skills to our life. If I want to be physically flexible, then I also have to be flexible with the ebb and flow of what life kind of throws my way. If I want to find balance on my yoga mat on one foot, then I have to also apply that to my lifestyle and also to my eating. Yoga, the word loosely translates to yoke or union. And also now, again, I think that we are finally in America getting this concept that there's no separation between mind, body, spirit. So we are one entity in that way. Yoga encompasses all of that. You know, the physical part of yoga goes into the different asanas or poses, and we put them into kind of a flow sequence that improves body awareness, that will improve balance. And the main focus of the physical practice is breath. And it's very powerful, because how often have we been told, just take a deep breath when you're being, if you're stressed out, or just take a deep breath and relax. And oftentimes that is so simple but hard to do. And I, now this might sound a little silly, but I really coach yoga breathing a lot in my classes as well. I'm sure all other registered yoga instructors do as well. However, you know, people who smoke cigarettes or hookah or any other thing that they like to smoke, what are they doing? They're forced to take a deep breath with these things, but it forces them to do that. So what we can do with yoga, we can still kind of get this buzz with breath and being able to set that structured time and having someone perhaps coaching you to do that. I tell people you can walk out of a yoga class, you know, having this own natural high on life that can last several hours. And if you do it regularly, it will last longer than that.
Oh, I know, because I like the part of yoga where I'm at the very end and I'm supposed to lay straight and relax. That's my part, because I'm asleep after that.
Yes. Oh, and you know what? That's the best part, but believe it or not, that is considered the hardest part of yoga. And that was, for me, when I took my first yoga class, I was all about the physical. I mean, I was probably the worst yoga participant. I was the person that wanted to leave during final relaxation, and sometimes I would. Boy, was it eye-opening now. And I tell people that because I say, you know, when we're alone with our own thoughts, and that speaks volumes about you, Vicky, because that's wonderful that you love that part.
I love it.
I think for me, it was that scary moment of stillness that I had to face that a lot of these things that would start to bubble up emotionally that I wasn't prepared to deal with. So that final relaxation is a huge component that sometimes can bring out a lot of emotions in a yoga class, which is completely normal and helps people to release certain emotions, kind of bless and release them, and hopefully, again, improve their overall mentality.
So how would we go about looking for a teacher if we were a beginner? How would we, you know, how do you know
what to do?
Yeah.
That's a common question I get all the time. There's so many different styles of yoga, and I would recommend everyone to kind of seek out maybe the top two or three yoga studios near you, near them, and then look up if they have beginner's classes. And I always, with any type of new activity, I tell people, you know, give it the three strikes before it's out and try different instructors. Because doing something just once, you know, we didn't learn how to ride a bike the first time the training wheels were off. We had to try it a couple times. Right? And sometimes more than a couple before it actually was like we were feeling successful with it. And the thing is with yoga, you can't be bad at it. People tell me all the time, oh, I'm just bad at yoga. And I look at them, I'm like, wait, hold up. Say that again? Because you can't be bad at it. Yoga's not a sport. Yoga's not meant to be competitive. But if we think about yoga as a practice, I'm just going to go and practice yoga, then you always have room for growth. And it's never going to leave you feeling unsuccessful, because, you know, I woke up every day feeling like I got a new body. Like, you know, yesterday might have been a little bit younger body. Today I feel a little different body. And so I have to respect where I am each day, and I can alter my yoga practice to respect how I feel based on those sensations. And I tell people all the time, you know, you're going to notice a difference between yoga that's conducted at a fitness center or a gym versus a yoga studio. Mm. So sometimes people say, well, you know, I took it at my gym and I just didn't like it. And it could have just been the environment that it was in. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's somebody slamming a medicine ball against the wall outside, right, distracting you, right, or, you know, or there's mirrors. Mm-hmm. I have mirrors in my studio on one wall, and I don't face the mirrors when I teach a yoga class.
Right.
So that we can kind of get out of that visual headspace and base it on more of this intrinsic type of awareness, what the poses feel like and how good they can make us feel, as opposed to, well, I don't look like so-and-so. Oh, I'm not as flexible as so-and-so. And again, we can let go of that comparison. So I do recommend trying, you know, give it the three strengths before it's out. I also say this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might be doing yoga that's not labeled yoga. For example, I have friends who are, they just love to golf. You know, mm-hmm. any chance that they get in the springtime, summer, they're golfing. And that's almost like their yoga, because they're moving their bodies, they're breathing, they're outside, they're connected with nature, and that's their zen. Maybe like with you, Dr. D, how you said, yeah, I've tried a couple times and trying to wrap your brain around it. Maybe you already have that part of your life fulfilled, where, you know, something that brings you that.
Well, I am a runner. So as you were talking about that, that is kind of my zen. But, you know, that does take its toll on your body. You kind of need the yin and the yang, something that is maybe taking a little bit of toll, but is your happy place, your zen, and maybe yoga that provides, you know, because you certainly need flexibility and all of that with running and swimming as well and in other sports.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes, you know, I've encouraged some of my clients, you know, they'll flat out tell me, like, Aubrey, I will try yoga, but I mean, they've done it all. They've taken it different places and they're like, you know, it's just not my thing. So those are sometimes my runners. And so that we just do, so that we can do an injury prevention and low impact, you know, that they make best friends with the foam roller and their local massage therapist.
Right. I have one of those.
You know?
They're great. I have one of those for piriformis syndrome, which I have.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And it's great. So you've heard of that, right?
Yeah. I have. Yeah. Yeah. So. That's kind of common with runners.
Yeah.
And the piriformis is notorious to be like the tightest muscle in the body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I found out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Owie.
Yeah.
I know. When we talk about yoga, you know, there's a lot of research. It talks about the improvements of cardiorespiratory health, blood pressure, all that kind of thing. But there's also research that's out there that says that yoga can actually cause a lot of injuries if you're not careful, most especially if people do not take the necessary precautions. So what advice would you tell folks, especially beginners, to do in order to avoid these injuries?
That's a great question. I think the bottom line, the essence of yoga, is to listen to your body and differentiate the difference between sensation and pain. There's one thing to be uncomfortable in a stretch where you feel a little fidgety and you're like, "Ooh, I need to breathe through this and I want to exit this pose, but you know, I know I'm not tearing anything. I know I'm not dislocating anything. It's just, you know, I store a lot of my stress here. For example, in my hips. For me, any hip openers, oh boy, there's a lot of stuff going on there. So I respect that there is sensation. Versus pain, and this was when I think hot yoga first became really popular in my area. I remember clearly I was in a hot yoga class and the instructor, she was a great instructor. However, this is just the way that she was being trained. She pushed my hips completely flat.
Ooh.
One toes called frog. Because she saw how physically flexible I was with other parts of my body, but this pose was not flexible on my body.
Mm.
So that was to the point where it caused me pain. You know, I always appreciate different adjustments that instructors can give. However, I don't think that's very common anymore. So I would caution people to say, you know, if you don't want the instructor to give you hands-on adjustments, don't hesitate to say that.
Right.
Too. Again, they're there to be helpful. And that kind of goes along with, you know, I do teach couples yoga and partner yoga classes.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people come in without a partner and I have to pair them up. And it is big time communication, you know, again, because we can look physically flexible in one joint angle and then another one. Or if somebody has, let's say, something more serious like scoliosis, I work with dancers who, a dancer now who has scoliosis, she's so flexible in her back bending, but then in a forward flex position, she is not.
Mm.
So I think it's important too that the instructor knows what any injuries that you have. Please tell the instructor at your first yoga class. I have had people not tell me even after I've asked because they actually don't identify with their injury,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Mm-hmm.
However, they suddenly think, oh, whoops, I forgot to tell them mm-hmm. because now I feel it.
Right.
So, again, yoga is going to bring out these types of imbalances in the body where we might have forgotten about it because we're not doing a certain movement that causes us to be aware of it. But suddenly we are. So it's important to communicate. You know, don't feel like in a yoga class you have to be totally silent. It's not meant to be kind of, you know, a shout-out type of a class either, you know. But I tell my participants all the time, please feel free to speak up. This is not meant to be, you know, to the point where you feel like you can't talk.
Well, I would say that for many folks out there that we definitely should give yoga a try. But also tell us, though, you know, when we talk about yoga, you said yoga at the very beginning, it's actually not just the poses and the breathing, but it's a lifestyle. So we know nutrition and fitness are an important part of when we talk about wellness, especially total wellness. So how does yoga tie into the total wellness concept?
Well, I think it really ties into the total wellness concept as that we are aiming, just like with our wheel of wellness, that we have our occupational health, that we have our, you know, relationships, that we have our nutrition, our exercise component, all those things, we can use yoga as a vehicle to support those avenues. And I think with even a more seasoned yoga instructor, that they will coach classes in that way. For example, the class that I taught yesterday, you know, we set our intention for the day. It's not just meant to set an intention for the class to say, oh, I intend to leave here feeling less stiff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad intention, and there's no right or wrong intention. We can take the intention a little bit deeper than that, however, is to say that today my intention is to spread how good I feel right mm-hmm. now in this moment,
mm-hmm.
and I am going to share this feeling with those I interact with today. And that is kind of this pay it forward mentality, where if we're looking to be well, you know, we all know the sad truth is we turn on the news or look on our phone, and there's so much anger that we see
mm-hmm.
that I'd like to believe that that's really not what this world exists of, but that's what we see on media
mm-hmm.
and through the media. So if we can actually start to surround more things with love and self-respect, and then we can respect others, then again, we are starting to bring to the surface more of the whole component of being a well person, a well body, mind, and soul.
Okay. So then, Aubrey, we have really enjoyed you
this
today.
This has been great. Yeah.
And we want you to leave us with some type of take-home message for folks wanting to improve or maintain their total wellness then.
One take-home message that I love to kind of beat into people's minds is please, please become an active participant in your health.
Mm.
No one should care more about your health than you. So if we are led to think, oh, well, my doctor should know this about me, or my doctor should care, that can be true. However, you should care more. You need to take the initiative to integrate healthy eating habits, to take all of the advice from this podcast that is stellar advice that people can get
mm-hmm.
and start to apply it, to have that strategy and to bottom line, never give up, because it is all about the journey.
That's great.
Yes.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
How can people get in touch with you? Where can they find out more about you?
Oh, well, they can get in touch with me through any of my social media channels. And my website is my name, aubreywarrick.com. If you're interested in learning anything about with my blog. I do, my most recent blogs are about postpartum health, as well as any folks that might be listening who are currently pregnant. They might like to check out my blog for my latest experiences on there as well.
Great. Well, Aubrey, I have one comment for you as you leave. Namaste.
Oh, namaste.
Yeah, I went to India this past spring, and of course, you know, the yoga place. I never really understood where that came from. So, namaste.
Namaste. And it's the light in me honors the light in you is the Cliff Note version. And it's just kind of like saying peace be with you.
Right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Now, this ends our show, Dee. So do you have any tips that we should think about?
Well, I think that Aubrey was great today in helping us understand more how we can integrate yoga into our lives for our mind and our body and spiritual self. And being one that hasn't really tried it, she, you know, has certainly sparked my interest in wanting to do more. And certainly the article that you read that talked about 6% decrease in risk of heart attacks and 15% of strokes, that's all I needed to hear. So I'm a believer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I liked what she was saying also, that some of us, we have our yoga moments as well, meaning we have some things that we do for relaxation and deep breathing anyway.
Yes.
So we should embrace that as well.
Exactly.
Yes. And so I really enjoyed her talk with us.
And one last thing that she brought home for us that is something that she didn't say it exactly like we say it. We say know your numbers.
Yes.
But she did talk about taking over your own health. You can't expect your doctor to do it or anybody, mom, dad, sister, brother. You have to take over your own health.
You have to be the, like I always say, you have to be the CEO of your health.
Correct. Correct.
And as always, for more information, go to our website, www.vickidofitness.com. And remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook, and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@vickidofitness.com.